Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we're live on the air right now. Keep listening to hear how the Basic Gospel will intersect with your life every day, how the Word of God can help you experience freedom and true life in Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or a troublesome issue you'd like to talk about, call now. 1-800-677-9377. Again, that's 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Here's what Paul had to say about his ministry. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So when Paul was sent out to all of these Gentile countries, these cities, he ministered the new covenant to those who were hurting, those who were distressed or stressed out because of life, those who were in emotional pain, those who were trapped in religious and legalistic bondage. What did Paul minister to them? He ministered them the new covenant, this covenant that Jesus Christ ushered in through his death on the cross. So if we're going to receive healing, if we're going to receive freedom and experience freedom in Christ Jesus, we have to be recipients of that ministry of the new covenant. That's what is going to bring healing to these souls of ours. That's what's going to bring peace to our hearts and to our minds. Yeah. It's all about this new covenant. And what is this new covenant? It's a ministry of grace. It's a ministry of reconciliation. It's a ministry of forgiveness. It's a ministry of assurance. It's a ministry of internal change and transformation. That's what this new covenant is all about. And it's the missing link, I think, in today's Christian world. We keep trying to blend old with new. We keep trying to somehow merge the two together. And when we do, we lose sight of the real purpose of the old, and we totally miss the meaning of the new. But Christ sent Paul to be a minister of the new covenant. That's what he sends us to do as well, to minister this new covenant, to minister it into people's lives. And when people receive it, they experience the freedom, the grace, the mercy that their hearts long for.
Absolutely. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us, everybody. We'd love for you to join us by phone. If you have something you need to talk about, we'd love to talk about it with you. 1-800-677-9377. That's toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377. Give us a call. We await hearing from you. Guys, a question from Claude. It says, throughout the Scriptures, old and new, God has called out, chosen and elected, who will be His. Romans 9:11-27 and Ephesians 1 make it very clear that God has chosen some to be saved and omitted others. Salvation is 100% God. Please comment and thank you for your ministry.
Well, I'd certainly agree with that last statement. Salvation is 100% God. It's by grace that we are saved through faith. It was His work in Christ, Christ's death, burial, and resurrection that brought about salvation for those of us who believe. But as far as predestination, election, those sort of things, when you look at those particular passages that he mentioned, Ephesians chapter 1, Romans chapter 9, the context isn't individuals. It's Jews and Gentiles.
Right.
And also there when it says that he's chosen some in Ephesians, it's for a particular purpose, that we would be holy and blameless in God's sight. That's what's been predestined. Those of us who respond to this gospel message by faith, it's been predestined that we're going to be presented to God holy and blameless in His sight. Wow, what great news is. But boy, we try to make it something else. Just stick with what the Word of God has to say.
Sure.
Then when you go to Romans 9, you see it's about Jews and Gentiles, that it's not about individuals. God has predestined the Gentile to be saved in exactly the same way that the Jew is saved, by grace, through faith. And I think when we see that context, that particular subject, instead of being a subject that divides, is a subject that unifies.
You bet.
And I think that's what God wants for all of us, for us to stand together in this one body, sharing in the life of Christ, rejoicing in this new covenant that we live in, and experiencing God's grace to its full.
Absolutely. Claude, hope you're listening. Hope that's been a help to you. And friends, if you'd like to pose an email question, all you need to do is go to our website, basicgospel.net. We'd love to address your question on a later edition. Right now, plenty of open lines, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Kathleen in Brooklyn listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi. How are you?
You're doing fantastic.
Good. Thank God. What I wanted to ask you is, I passed a mosque yesterday. There was a gentleman sitting outside, Muslim, I guess reading a Quran, but behind him there was a sign that said, Abraham, Jew or Christian? So I asked him, why did he put that up there? He said it was just something that he wanted to put there for people to read. I guess to have people think, what was Abraham? Was he a Jew or a Christian? Of course, I told him I was a Christian, and he went on to say, well, what makes you think that you're right? He said, how do we know who's right? There are many different ones, which I had known because I have a friend I've called you before. My friend in Costa Rica asked me the same question. So this is the second person who said to me, how do we know which one is the right God? My answer to him was, listen, I serve a God of love. Anything that's opposite of love is evil. And so that's the way I believe. And I also believe that Christ died for my sins. And so I stand by that. But this was a little, I don't understand. He wants to know, you know. And so if I see him again, I wanted to have an answer maybe to tell him, if your question is Abraham a Jew or a Christian?
Well, Kathleen, he was neither.
Yes.
Abraham was basically a pagan living in Ur, and God reached out to him and said, I want to lift you up from where you are. I want to take you to a new place. And then along the way, he gave Abraham promises, basically said, through your seed, the world is going to be blessed. And when we trace the bloodline of that seed, follow it out from Abraham, it goes from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, and then to through Judah, and eventually ends up to Jesus, we see the dots are connected. God gave Abraham a promise. That promise was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. There's no one else on the planet that could have been the fulfillment of that promise to Abraham. And then this Jesus, as he comes on the scene and starts his ministry, he makes some really outlandish statements about himself, that he and the Father were one, that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He claimed to be God in human flesh. No one else has ever claimed that and done so with a measure of credibility. There's lots of folks that have said they were a Messiah and that sort of thing. They're sitting in loony bins right now, but not Jesus. Why? Because what he said was true. And when you look at what he said, there's really only three options. Either he was speaking truth, that he indeed was God in human flesh, or he was a liar. He was pretending to be God in human flesh, or he was a loony bin. There's really no other options. And so when you look at the evidence, I think it's clear that what he said was exactly true. And if it's true, then that excludes everyone else, because Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if we believe the claims about Jesus, then we must also believe that he is the only name by which we can be saved. That excludes everyone else. If we don't believe his claims, then we have to conclude that he's a liar or a lunatic. And if he's a liar or a lunatic, we'd just want to disregard what he said anyway. It wouldn't make a hill of beans difference.
Right. But that's what I told him, as far as that, you know, Jesus is the truth. And, you know, one more question. He made a statement that, because another man had come out, another Muslim, You know, he says, let her, you know, make her own, you know, compare. And, of course, I'm already grounded in the Lord. There's nothing that's going to shake me. But I just wanted to see what it is that they're talking about. Why do you believe this? He said something that he says, we believe Mary was a virgin. We believe she conceived. But here's where I did completely disagree. I says, listen, when there's a seed in a woman and there's a baby, somebody's the father. There were two children standing next to me. I says, these two children, okay, they have fathers. I says, who is the father of Jesus? Let me ask you that. Their answer to this was unbelievable. He said, no, Jesus didn't have a father. I said, wait a minute, everybody has a father. Everybody, you know, when they're born, somebody is the father of the child. So they're denying that God is the father of Jesus. They also think that Abraham has no father. You know, that he said to Abraham. I said, Adam. I says, well, from the dust. But God blew the breath of life into him. So if he's the breath of life, he's the father who gave Adam life.
He's certainly the creator. Without God's creative power and creative work, we would not exist. But Kathleen, I think you make some very valid points in your discussion.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think one of the things we have to realize, Kathleen, when we're in conversation with others engaged in talk about Jesus and with somebody who doesn't necessarily believe, we want to be persuasive enough to bring them to our side. And that doesn't always happen. So we have to share and trust God with the results. We have to leave those results in God's hands. So if you planted a seed, praise God that you were able to plant a seed.
Somebody else will pray for truth. He's seeking truth, and I say, Lord, show him the truth.
Absolutely.
Because you are the truth, the way, the life. And no one will get to the Father but through you, Lord. And I ask for that revelation to be known to these.
Yeah. Well, Kathleen,
good
work.
Okay, let me let you go.
Good work on your part, Kathleen.
Yes.
And sure appreciate hearing from you. Let's go to Adam in New Jersey listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Adam.
Thank you, brother. And Brother Bob, thank you for your comments at the beginning. And thank you for you guys' unwavering conviction to just preach the gospel, because that's the only place that the power lies. Just wanted to make a comment in regards to the law and grace dynamic and how the Apostle Paul so greatly brings it out in the book of Galatians by saying in Galatians 2:21, I do not frustrate or set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. I think what many believers don't understand is that the mix of law and grace is an impossible one for the believer. You can't take the new covenant, a covenant of grace, and start mixing it with the old covenant, a covenant of law, and expect to still get the benefits of the new covenant. You're setting aside the grace of God. You're essentially making the sacrifice of Christ of no effect in your life.
That's exactly right, Adam.
I just think that's such an important point that many believers who are trying to live for God and are failing, that's the pinpoint of why they're failing, is they're trying to mix it in. Paul says two chapters later when he's doing the illustration of the bondwoman and her son with Hagar, is that you need to cast out the bondwoman and her son. You need to get law out of your Christian walk. You need to live by the grace of God through faith in what Christ has done for you at Calvary. So just want to thank you guys and hopefully just re-engage that conversation, because I think it's such an important one that believers, at least that I talk to, so many of them try to live by some sort of law that they've created for themselves in their Christian experience. But whether it be things that are scriptural, like Bible reading, fasting, prayer, those things are the fruit of a good Christian walk. But they're not laws to be imposed on the life of a believer to try to attain righteousness.
Well, Adam, the biggest problem back in the day as far as when Paul was alive and why he wrote the majority of his letters was to address this very issue. We can't blend law with grace and expect to have a vibrant Christian experience. Those two don't mix. They had separate purposes. They were all part of this continuum of God's desire to get us to new life in Christ. But the law had a specific purpose in that role, and that was to identify our need, to show us that we couldn't do it, that we could not live up to the righteous requirements that God had. So once we realize that, then we're primed to turn to Christ by faith, receive his life, be justified by faith in him. Once that happens, the law gives way to Jesus and says, Jesus, you lead this person from this point forward. I've done my work. I did it well. And now I'm giving way so that you can do your work of saving, of healing, of bringing a person into this new covenant and this new life by grace. So we need to understand that. It's I liken the law to an X-ray machine, Adam. If you're not feeling too well, a doctor says, well, we want to take an X-ray, or we want to do an MRI, or we would need to do some other test. And the reason for that test is to show what's wrong, is to give the doctor an idea of what's really going on. But once the test has been completed, the machine cannot be involved in the cure. Something else has to come into play. And so that's what the law did. It showed us, it diagnosed the problem. It helped us see what was wrong. But the fix is in Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can save us. And when we get that straight, this Christian life just falls into place, doesn't it, Adam?
Amen. That's right. And Paul also said, that the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ. It was like, I love that X-ray machine analogy. I liken it to like a mirror. It shows you who you really are. When you see yourself in the law, that's what's supposed to make you cry out, what must I do to be saved? Or what must I do to live this Christian life once I'm already saved? And it's to show you that you can't. It's a bar that in and of the flesh is set too high. And you need to have the grace of God to get there. And the grace of God only comes through what Paul said. We preach Christ crucified. It's keeping your faith anchored in the same place it was when you got saved. That all-sufficient sacrifice at Calvary is going to continually cleanse you and continually conform you into the image of Christ.
Yeah. Well, good words, Adam, and thanks for participating in today's broadcast and bringing such a critical issue to the table.
Yeah. Are you leading a small group someplace? Or several of them?
Yeah, I'm an associate pastor in New Jersey.
Oh, man. Oh, what a blessing.
Indeed. Well,
thank you, brother.
Hey, we appreciate it, Adam. God bless you, my friend.
You know, all of us go through hurts in life, and Bart Millard and Andrew Parley have written a wonderful book to address that particular issue. It's called The Hurt and the Healer, and it can be yours from Basic Gospel for a gift this month of any amount. Just go online to basicgospel.net to request your copy and make your gift. Again, that's basicgospel.net, or you can request yours by phone at 1-800-727-2828. Again, 1-800-727-2828. The Hurt and the Healer, yours right now for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel.
And Bob, why this is such a wonderful book is because it really ministers the new covenant into people's lives. That is the truth that sets people free. Free from what? Free from emotional pain, free from being in bondage to your circumstances, trying to figure out a way out through your own strength, through your own wisdom. The new covenant is the healing medicine that God gives us, and it's through faith in Jesus Christ that we experience it. So this book really provides the framework to be able to think through all of life circumstances through this new covenant, through this grace of God. As Bart shares at the beginning of this book, that's what eventually brought the healing into his life that he was looking for. And when we say healing, we're not talking about physical healing.
Sure,
we're talking about our souls. Our souls are messed up. Our minds are messed up. And things happen to us, and we just go all over the place with reactions, and our emotions follow suit, and it just becomes this mess. But in Christ, experiencing his grace, these minds can can get healed. We can start thinking with God's thoughts and feeling with God's feelings and experiencing peace in the midst of life circumstances.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So grab a hold of this. Make a contribution. We want to send it to you as our way of saying thanks. Well, let's go to New York and talk with Frank. Hi, Frank.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you very much. Before I get to my main topic, I would like to make a comment on what the last caller said. When he said that the law was set too high, the bar was set too high, that is not really scriptural. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, God says, if you obey the Lord your God to keep his commandments, for this commandment... Well, let me just finish, Bob. For this commandment which I command you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. And you could read the rest of the chapter. Noah did find grace in the eyes of God. That's what it says in the Old Testament.
But not through his obedience to the law. He found grace because God extended grace.
No, I understand. Yeah. Now, what I'd like to say is my main topic, Jesus said, he who denies me before men, I will deny him before my Father, which is in heaven. He told the apostles on the night he was betrayed, you will all fall away. In the Greek, the word was apostasy. And that's exactly what happened. If we look at Titus 1:16, it says about certain individuals, they claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. And if we compare that with Timothy, what it says
in
Timothy...
Well, do you think those folks are saved?
No, of course. The apostles are saved because they repented.
Yeah. But the ones in Titus that you just mentioned, do you think those guys were saved?
Oh, no. It says by their actions they deny him. So we could deny God by what we do and by our deeds and our actions. And it says in Timothy, if we persevere with him, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us, even though he remains faithful. So all of these scriptures are consistent, if you know what I'm trying to say. We could deny God by what we do. It's not just a matter of praying the sinner's prayer. It has to do with obedience and the way we live.
Well, Frank,
really counts
and that's the whole point about salvation that we're trying to make through this broadcast. I think most believers would answer the question, "What is salvation?" with this answer: it is forgiveness of sins. Christ died so that I could have forgiveness of sins and a place in heaven with him when I die. That is not the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And through that gospel, we are made new in him. We receive new life. So it's not about saying a sinner's prayer. It's not about making promises to God or going to church or giving money. It's about being born again of the Spirit of God. And once a person is born again, God's Spirit takes up residence in that person with the promise he will never leave that person nor forsake that person, and also with the promise that he will complete the work that he began. And if we will get a hold of that reality and see salvation for what it truly is, then all of these other questions about whether somebody can walk away or not walk away will be answered. But Frank, thanks for your call today. We sure appreciate it.
As we said earlier, please keep in mind that Basic Gospel is supported only through your prayers and gifts. And for the remainder of the month, as one way to say thank you for your generous gift of any amount at this time, we'll send you a copy of the excellent book we were mentioning a few moments ago, The Hurt and the Healer by Bart Millard and Andrew Farley. You know, we all hurt. Fear, loneliness, broken homes, broken hearts. We all need healing. But where do we find it? Well, Bart and Andrew have written this book, The Hurt and the Healer, to show the way. It's yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And to make your gift and make your request as well, go online to basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Or you can call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. Again, 800-727-2828. The Hurt and the Healer, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. If you use social media, we hope you'll like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry staff, Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.